there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. So get ready for your New Hope for today.
Okay, we're going to open our Bibles to Psalm 103. We're going to read from verse 9 through 19. Hear now the Word of God. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, once again we come to you, Lord, to be taught. We come at your feet, that you may impart the wisdom of the holy word of God Almighty. That the holiness of God is shown to us. That we see in his word truth and grace. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We know you will speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Back in 2011, the story of Joshua Robb, little 8-year-old. And while he was at school, Joshua slipped through a fence opening and he bolted from the schoolyard, left the schoolyard. And his disappearance in this San Bernardino mountain area of Southern California, it galvanized the people there, the mountain communities and TV viewers across Southern California. There were official search efforts, as you can imagine. They were coordinated at the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Station, and it was apparently a big beehive of activity, searching and looking for this boy. And meanwhile, there was a group of 100 volunteer citizens who carried out similar efforts from a small command post near Twin Peaks. Terry Rubio, who helped organize the Senior Center volunteer, said she felt compelled to get involved. She says, I got up this morning and said, I don't know how I can go about my daily routine when there is a child lost. Now, people put the whole situation in their churches on prayer chains. They sent out information to all the churches around the community and put it up to God in prayer. And there was a prayer vigil organized, but he was found. And the prayer vigil was converted into a praise vigil. Now, 8-year-old Joshua Robb was located in thick brush on the side of Miller Canyon. It's very steep, after missing for more than 27 hours. The sheriff's air rescue unit, the helicopter, lowered a medic down to assess his condition. And then it hoisted Joshua up off the hillside and flew him to safety. Describing Joshua's encounter then with members of the rescue team 34 from the Sheriff's Department of San Bernardino, Sheriff Lieutenant Rick Ellis said, he, that is Joshua, came out of the thicket and said, "Thank you, you saved me." And this short story about Joshua, I think, combines this whole idea of justice and mercy and grace. That justice is getting what we deserve. We can understand that, right? That mercy is not getting what you deserve. But the third one is this definition of grace. And I'm not so sure how good it is, but at least gets the idea of cross. That grace is getting what we don't deserve. So think about this, and I want you to really consider this from these three aspects of justice, mercy, and grace. So what would be then, really, truly, the proper response of justice to Joshua? Think about it. He was disobedient to the rules. He wanted to go his own way, leave the teachers, leave the school. He chose, instead of being amongst the people, to go into the wilderness. What Joshua deserves then is punishment for his actions. Punishment for his disobedience. That is justice. If he would get what he deserves, he would be found, he would be punished for his disobedience. It's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, what would be the proper then response of mercy? I mean, we all want to be merciful in this situation, for sure. But once again, Joshua was disobedient to the rules. He wanted to go his own way. He chose the wilderness. And so of mercy, we may say, let us have mercy on this poor little boy. Let's go find him and let's let him go when we get him and just hope he doesn't do something like this again. That's kind of the merciful way of looking at it. But what is then the proper response of grace? Joshua was disobedient to the rules. He wanted to go his own way. He chose the wilderness. But grace would compel us to love the boy. See, grace would compel us to feel compassion on this disobedient soul. To help him out. To search him out. To find him. To take him up in loving arms. To save him. To take him in and teach him. See, that's grace. He came out of the thicket, the sheriff said, and said, "Thank you, you saved me." Beloved, saving grace from a Christian perspective starts your adventure with God. Grace is a tough topic to talk about, not easily defined. And so we're going to talk about it in three ways in the next three sermons. Today we're going to talk about saving grace. Next week we're going to talk about sustaining grace. And lastly, we're going to talk about glorious grace. Saving grace starts your adventure with God. In Psalm 103, verse 9-13, he says, he's not always going to accuse or harbor his anger forever. That is God. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. This is kind of getting to the core of grace. In verse 11 it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." I want you to understand this idea of as high as the heavens are above the heavens where God dwells is beyond the physical universe. Into infinity, in other words. That's how great his love is for those who fear him. For those who fear him are those who have awe and respect of God, who, while wanting to be in his presence, know that he is this holy, awesome God that created all things. In verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. And as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so this idea of grace is present in these few verses. Now, God, in dispensing his grace, chooses not to give us what we deserve. He doesn't repay us according to our sins. That would be justice. That his love for us is so great that he has removed our transgression. This is an interesting verse, this idea of him removing our transgressions as far as east is from the west. I don't know if you've ever thought about that little term, but when you talk about how the Bible never speaks of science, you know, 1000 BC, they never would have understood around earth. So if I'm going east, I can keep walking, right? And can I ever go west? It's infinite. As far as east is from the west, he removes our transgressions from us. See, that's God's grace. And grace oftentimes is one of those Christianese sort of words that we use here in the church, and it's often misunderstood. Defining grace is somewhat difficult. If you look, go at a Christian bookstore, if you go to any seminary around in their bookstores, and if you go to a seminary library and you look up grace, you're going to find books and books. You've all heard this, the acronym for grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good definition, I suppose, of grace, but it's not a deep theological definition. There's three words that define grace, and that is God's unmerited favor. Many in the past have talked of grace about it that way. That's a good definition, but that's still not quite it. A.W. Tozer expands on that, and he says that grace is the good pleasure of God. It's God's decision. It's God's good pleasure that inclines him. Because of his good pleasure, it inclines him to bestow benefits on the undeserving. There's another definition of grace that comes from Burkhoff, theologian in the early 1900s. The unmerited operation of God in the heart of man, effected through the agency of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's kind of digging deeper and deeper as to what God's grace is all about. Because I believe that you cannot appreciate the grace of God without understanding the holiness of God. We're not talking about the man in the sky, the big man upstairs. You know, we're not talking about this sort of Santa Claus-looking figure with a big gray beard and gray hair and like Michelangelo painted in the Sistine Chapel. We're not talking, that's not God. God's holiness is completely apart from what we are. He's outside the universe, but he's in and out. And every place that we are, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere we are. He's omnipotent. He's most powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. He's omniscient. He knows all things. This is the God of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. From those five words, we're here. Think of that. From those five words, the pews you're sitting in are here. The carpet's here. The wood's here. This church building is here. The clouds and the heavens and the stars. And yet he chooses to reach down to people like us. We can't comprehend that. When you understand the great holiness of God, and you understand the message of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation, how much more so then do we appreciate the grace of God? The unmerited operation of God in the heart of man, effected through the agency of the Holy Spirit. God alone is the dispenser of grace. Only he can give it. He alone gives unmerited favor to fallen human beings through faith in Jesus Christ. It's God who gives it. It's God the Father in Jesus, in the work of Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. God who is one in substance, three persons, the Trinity, who dispenses this awesome grace to people like us. God's holy wrath and justice is mercifully averted by his grace through faith in Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how it's applied. That is how his grace is effected. And when this grace is effected in us through belief in Jesus Christ, we are now clothed in Christ. Because I am saved. I'm thinking about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Think of this yourself. I am saved by grace through faith. And he adds the little piece, and that not of myself. It's a free gift from God. He is gracious. And so believers in Christ are clothed in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That we then, because of this grace that God dispenses to us, that we can enter into his presence. We are in his presence now as God's community of believers gather. His presence is here. His presence is in the heart of believers by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have access to a holy God that for centuries the Hebrews could only access in the Holy of Holies, one high priest, once a year. That when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the goat's blood on the altar, that he had to be tethered, a line tied to his leg, in case God would just obliterate him because he would be in the presence of God. Now, it's never recorded that that happened, but they would do that. Because the presence of God was so holy. It was separated by, remember the curtains? And these curtains were supposedly 4 inches thick of fabric. And behind the curtains sat the Ark of the Covenant. There was fear going in there, the fear of God, of being in the presence of such holiness. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we, you, I, are brought into that presence. You're brought into the God who created all things, who dispenses his Spirit, who was present on the face of the deep when the world was created. That's the Spirit of God that lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Not only that, he brings us in as part of his family. John MacArthur says that grace is not a dormant or abstract quality, but a dynamic, active, working principle. It's not some kind of ethereal blessing that lies idle while we appropriate it. Grace is God's sovereign initiative to sinners. He gives it to us freely. He defines grace as the free and benevolent influence of a holy God operating sovereignly in the lives of undeserving sinners. The last half of what we read today in Psalms kind of dictates that. It makes us understand that, verses 14 through 19. For he knows how we're formed, that he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. We're going to pass away. Flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. Place even doesn't even remember it anymore for most people on the face of the earth. But from everlasting to everlasting, this finite thing that we experience, but we're brought in to the grace of God from everlasting to everlasting for all time and eternity. The Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. His righteousness, not ours. With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. We remember it when we remember the Lord's Supper. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant. What's the new covenant in? In my blood. The saving work of Christ is the epitome of God's grace to us. Lastly, in verse 19, he said, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. He is the holy God of all creation. Titus 3, 5 through 7 says, he saved us not on the basis of our deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the people we are, beloved. Is that awesome to think about? Amen? I mean, it should empower us to be deliverers of the message of Jesus Christ out in our communities, out to people who need to hear. Because the grace of God does not stop at our confession of true faith. Saving grace is not the only grace. It continues throughout the Christian life, and will continue in heaven forever. Saving grace starts your adventure with God. Saving grace is freely given to believers. His saving grace envelops you and takes you up into heaven, just like the helicopter did with Joshua and Rahab. He brings you into his love and his loving family. And like Joshua Robb, our hearts should cry out, thank you, you saved me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Bow our heads in prayer as we go to God. Holy Father, you do dispense tremendous grace, wonderful grace, awesome grace. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us freely. Through the work of Christ on the cross, Lord, you took all of our filth and all of our sins and all of our iniquities upon yourself, upon the cross, with your body and blood, that we are part of the new covenant. The temple curtain is torn in two. The Holy Spirit dwells inside the hearts of us who believe. And we are part of the family of the living God, all through your grace. Father, we cannot express enough love for what you give us, enough thankfulness for what you bestow. But in any case, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhai and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.